I'm glad that the Father was satisfied.
Amen.
Satisfied. That's good. Very good tonight. All right. Well, we got some thoughts for you. Will you let me help you tonight?
Amen. Sure.
I'm asking you, will you let me help you tonight?
Sure.
And there's some help here, but you're going to have to, what, Dave? You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to listen. And I ain't going to tell you what. Dave was bragging on all of you. That's all I got to say. He was bragging on all of you this evening. And a little sarcastic, but he was bragging on you anyway. But now I want to help us all tonight. And I'm going to give you, it's so foundational. It's so simple. It's so what we already know. That we don't do, all right? If we'll just do it, it's going to help us, all right? But you're going to have to want to do it, all right? And you think about it tonight. So I do believe with all my heart that there's great help here this evening, all right? Not because I'm in, but the Lord give it to me, all right? So I believe there's help in His Word. What do you think? All right, let's pray together. Can we? Father, I need You tonight. You've been so good to me already, giving far more than I deserve. And You've blessed my heart. You've warmed my heart with the singing, the congregational singing, the songs that's been sung today has burnt way down inside. And I sure do thank You. And then the singing tonight, the girls, I appreciate them so much and their willingness to sing at any time. And thank You so much for that. Now, Lord, I'm nothing. I know that. I need Your help. Without You, I can do nothing. So, Lord, if You'll touch me fresh and give me power to preach as You want me to preach, not as I want, but as You want me to. Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, help me to preach. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, help everyone to listen. But, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to do as You say. Because we can't do it by ourselves. There's no one here can live right by themselves. We have to have You. And, Lord, sure do love You and thank You. Now, help us, I pray, tonight. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name and amen. Let's look at some things tonight, all right? Keeping our hearts fixed in 2026. And we know that's our theme. We know that. So I'm not going to tarry long in this introduction tonight because I want to get right to the message. All right? My heart is fixed, oh God. Now that we're going to have to stay with, okay? My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. My heart is fixed. I'm going to ask you tonight, now you've had what we've had, the three Sunday mornings, two Sunday nights. Is your heart any closer to being fixed? Talk to me. Is your heart any closer to being fixed? Is it fixed? Have you fixed it? Have you let the Lord fix it? Have you set it firm upon the things of God? Have you changed? Have you changed since the first Sunday? Have you? Are you closer than you was the first Sunday? And so you think about them things. So in context of the Scripture, a heart fixed and established, or that is firm and sure, is one that is assured of its salvation by Christ. Are you assured that you've been saved? Are you assured of your salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received Christ?
Yes.
Have you? All right, that's good. And it's one, a heart that is fixed and established, and one that's rooted and grounded in the love of God. Can we say amen to that? That's happened through Christ.
Yes.
All right, are you firmly built on the foundation, which is Christ? Are you shaky on your foundation? Do you know for sure? Do you have assurance? Are you saved one day and not the next? I mean, are you assured? Are you fixed on that? Do you know that for sure? Huh? And that foundation, which is Christ. And how about your affections? Are they set on Him? Are they set on Christ? Have you set your affections on Christ? Huh? Think about that. Unmoved? Huh? Are you unmovable? Are you fixed to where you ain't going to back up? You're going to hang right in there? Huh? Like, what they say, like a hare in a grilled cheese sandwich. Huh? How about that? We going to stay in there unmoved? We have a tough time doing it. The reason we have a tough time doing it is because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So we do have Naturally, we have a bad heart. Naturally. But I want to remind you that if you're saved, you are born again. And you do have a new heart. And you do have a power that rests inside of you to live right. You've been given everything that's necessary to live right. And you have Christ in you. So it's good. Okay? It's good to that point. But we got to be careful because we have a tendency to go back to old ways. Alright? Now, our heart is bad, so therefore it needs to be fixed to be fixed. And if it's not fixed, in the big word, in the big capital letter, then it needs fixed. So it will be fixed. Okay? Everybody knows that, alright? So we're looking at our heart. And we're going to look at our heart because of the importance of our heart. Alright? And we may preach on the heart all year. Who knows? We're just going to try our best to mind the Lord. But our heart must get right. I do believe that. Now, getting it fixed and keeping it fixed, that's going to be, getting it fixed might be easier than keeping it fixed. All right? Because we're going to have to pay attention. We're going to have to pay attention to our life. Okay? Is that all right? Now, listen to me tonight. There's many of us, many people tonight, and it's in our church. So we're not going to preach about other churches. We're just going to preach about us tonight. But many are not fully happy in the Lord. Can I just go ahead and tell you, some of y'all just ain't happy in the Lord. If you are, you need to tell your face and you need to change your actions because you're not happy in the Lord. Many have let situations and circumstances blind them from the joy of the Lord. Now, listen, we all got stuff. We all got issues. And that's not going to change. We're going to have it. And if you ain't got nothing right now, you just hang tight. They're coming. There's going to be some things that's going to shake you and disturb you. Death is coming to more people. Listen, these people, we're getting older. All right? And the ones that was already older, it's going to catch somewhere. But can I tell you, old people ain't all die. Young people die. These things happen. And so situations, and it's not just death, but illness and sickness and the bad things, tragedies. There's going to be some that it's going to have to make decisions about jobs and it's going to mess with their mind. There's some that's going to, there may be some that ends up with wayward children. Some of our young people may get wayward. We don't know. And it's going to break our hearts. There's going to be heartbreaks in the future. And these things happen, and they already have happened. And it blinds us. If we're not careful, it'll blind us to the joy of the Lord. So easy. So easy. And we've watched, some have watched as our life has slowly faded away. I was thinking there this afternoon, as I was putting this together there this afternoon, sitting in there, and I've heard comments to this. Well, that's just the way things are. Might as well just go ahead and go with it and just hope, let's wait till I die because there ain't going to be no change. I mean, they're discouraged. Some of you are discouraged. You're depressed. And, well, you've been through some stuff, and I understand that. But can I remind you, please, I'm not making light of it, but the Lord ain't changed. He's still bigger than that. He's still bigger than that. He can help you tonight if you'll let Him. But this is where we're at, and we feel like there's no return. Some of us say, well, yeah, there was a time I had joy of the Lord, but I ain't ever going to get that back. I ain't ever going to be like I was. Too much has happened. And some of you feel that way, and that's a bad place to be. But that's not true. That's not true. You may feel like it, but that's not true tonight. And we can still be what God wants us to be. All right? Now, listen to me. God looks at us different than we look at ourselves. All right? There's many tonight that has no self-esteem. Now, I'm a wretch. The Scripture tells me that. All right? And in my mind, I'm worthless, okay? But I can't be worthless. I can't be unworthy. I really can't be worthless because I am worth something, or Christ wouldn't have given all he had to save me and to pay for my sin debt. All right, so when I think I'm worthless, I got to remember that's not true. Okay, but we don't look at it the same way. He sees us through His eyes, not our eyes. See, when the Lord looks at us, remember this, He sees us through eyes of mercy. We don't always look at people with mercy. We look at people with justice or wanted justice. But He looks at us through mercy. Huh? He looks at us through love. You know, we don't always look at ourselves or even others through love. Because that's just the way we are. All right? And He looks at us through forgiveness. And we don't always look at ourselves. Can I tell you tonight, some of our biggest problems is not that God has not forgiven us, but we ain't forgive ourselves. That's some of our biggest problems. That we've not forgive what haunts us. We've not let go of some things. And can I tell you, the Lord don't hold that against us. He's forgiven. He don't have to keep forgiving it. It's done. He forgives us and it's done. All right? But yet this causes us issues. All right? And listen to this great truth we've been teaching even on Wednesday. When God looks at us, He looks at us with the power that He has in us. We have no power. The Scripture tells us that we can do nothing without Him. Do you believe that tonight? We can. We can do nothing without Him. But He sees us with His power in us, with Himself in us. See, that's a great truth that we have a hard time comprehending, that Christ is in us. And He is. All right? He sees us already seated with Him in glory. He don't see me seated here in this life. He sees me done and glorified, seated with Him. That's how He looks at us tonight. Is that not a wonderful truth? Think about that. That's what we're learning on Wednesday. Come on Wednesday and we learning that, okay? Look at Psalms 139. That's where we're going to look at just for a little bit. Psalms 139. Now, we're going to go through this because everything else is really foundational. But listen to me tonight. The Scripture says, "For Thou hast possessed my reins." All right? This Scripture here is telling that He knows us. That He knows us for what we are. "For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Now, whether you think that or not about yourself, don't matter. Because the truth is, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That God made you fearfully and wonderfully unique, marvelous in everything that He... God does not do anything wrong. And He made you. All right? "Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Now, He knows us. Everybody all right with that? "My substance was not hid from Thee." That's what I am. "When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, Thine eyes did see my substance." He sees our substance. He sees everything about us, and He don't just see us the way we are. He sees us how He wants us to be. He sees us how we can be. Does everybody understand that? He sees us how we can be. We don't think we'll ever amount to nothing. Some of us are so low, I'll never amount to nothing. I'll never be no more. You can be everything God wants you to be. And if you're what God wants you to be, then nothing else matters.
Amen.
Anybody understand that? "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect." He understands. Right. Have you ever read the Scripture that slow? That He sees us unperfect? He's not looking at us in perfection. He already sees that. He already sees the perfect part, glorified, seated with Him at the throne. But as he's looking at us now, he knows, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Before I was anything, he already seen what he wanted me to be.
Yeah, that's right.
We all right with that?
Yeah.
Do you know tonight that you're so special that he created and made you fearfully and wonderfully and created you in such a way that you are unique because you're a part of the wonderful body of Christ?
Yeah.
And you're unique. Nobody's the same.
Right.
But he made you and he knows your substance. And you alone can be what you alone can be. That's why you're not to look at nobody else. That's why you're not to compare yourself to someone else. Because you're not never going to be like them. You ain't supposed to be and you can't be. Because he didn't make you like that. So don't be down because you don't have or you can't do. That's not the way he made you. That's why some people can sing, some people can't carry a radio. It won't play. But he didn't make you to do it. He made you like he made you. You know why? Because you're important to him tonight. Are you listening to me? And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are. Does anybody believe that?
Yes, sir.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And he knows about your substance. He sees you. Huh? Are we okay? How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. He don't throw us away. He don't snuff us out. He don't trade us off. He made us and he keeps us. And then he saves us and makes us someday like him. For I shall see him as he is, for I shall be like him. He moves inside of me, lives inside of me, empowers me, loves me in mercy and grace and power, and does all that for me, makes me what he wants me to be, gives me the ability to be what I need to be, what he wants me to be, and even gives me some of my wants along the way. And ain't nobody any better than our wonderful Savior and God tonight. Think about that.
Amen.
Think about it. And God has a purpose in everyone's life, and here it is. Now you and I bring him glory. That's the purpose for our life, is to bring him glory. That's it. That's it. To bring him glory. Now, there might be different instances. It might be me preaching and you singing. That's okay. But I'm a different part of the body than you are. And I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And so are you. But the general purpose is that we all bring him glory. These boys, these young ladies, that you bring him glory. And that's it. He's made us to do just that. He made us fearfully and wonderfully, and each of us in our own special way, he made us to glorify him. That's why I can't praise him for you. That's why I can't worship him for you. I can tell of what he's done for you. I can tell God about you, but I can't worship for none of you, and I can't praise him. I can thank God that I have you, that I know you, but I can't praise him for you. Are we still okay?
Yeah.
So far, it's all encouraging, is that not?
Yeah.
Huh? Mark it down. Romans 11:36, what's it say? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. Are anybody here in all things? Y'all are all things, ain't you?
Oh, yeah.
To whom be glory forever. Huh? Amen. We okay?
Yeah.
How about Matthew 5:16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father. Not you, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why? Because our job is to bring Him glory. That's why we're made. That's our purpose. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's our purpose tonight. That we bring Him glory. Okay? We still okay? Now, I'm asking a question here. Do you want to be what God wants and has made you to be? I'm asking a question. Do you want to be... Now listen to me. Do you want to be what God wants you to be and what God has made you to be? Do you want that? I'm asking you. Do you want that? And you say, well, sure, everybody don't want that. Because we're afraid of what might be necessary. Okay? But if you want it, here's where it's going to have to start. Now, this is the bottom line of everything I've been preaching about our heart. Okay? We're going to have to start with a clean heart. We're going to have to start with a clean heart. All this other stuff I've been preaching about the heart, if a heart ain't clean, it ain't going to mount hill beans. We're going to have a clean heart. Is that not simple? Huh? I mean, that's about as foundational as it gets, ain't it? How about Psalm 51:10? Create in me a what? Clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Huh? So we must start right here. Why? How can we go start right here? Because we naturally get dirty. We just naturally get dirty. What do you do when you get dirty out working? You go take a bath. But what about tomorrow? You got to clean up today. What about tomorrow? What about, every day. It's a daily thing. We get dirty. Some days we're dirtier than others. Is that not true? Some days we're dirtier than others. So we got to get clean. Now, we think wrong at times, don't we? I do. Our attitude gets wrong at times. Our actions are wrong at times. We think wrong about others, then speak wrong. All of them things makes us dirty. We don't think much about it, but it makes us dirty. It ain't necessarily the big things. Everybody don't fall in the mud of it. Yeah. But we get our hands dirty, get our feet dirty. Right? So we need to get clean. Jesus teaches, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, Peter, old Simon Peter, always said, Lord, if you're going to wash my feet, you ain't washing my feet. He said, well, if I ain't going to wash your feet, I ain't got nothing of you then. He said, well, then we'll take, give me a whole bath. He said, it's not necessary. It's not necessary you take a whole bath. It's necessary that you wash your feet because you walk in this world. That's what he was teaching them. And that's necessary for us, that we wash our feet, that we clean ourselves daily because we walk in this world, because we get dirty. Right? So but we got to be willing to do it. I always think, I was watching Andy Griffith the other day, and Aunt B wanted Opie to get a haircut. And it was Wednesday. And Opie said, Paul, I don't want to get no haircut. Them old hairs get down my neck and itch me. And he said, well, take a bath. He said, it's Wednesday. This ain't turning out good. A haircut and a bath and it ain't even Saturday. He didn't have a desire to take a bath. See, sometimes we don't have a desire to get clean. Sometimes we just soon suffer the little hairs down our back. Huh? We all right? But we got to be willing. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keeping our heart, we're going to have to work on our heart. Keep our heart. What we need to keep it clean. We're going to have to do something with it. It ain't going to just happen. The Lord don't just save us and throw us to the ground. You're fine. You're perfect. We all know we're not perfect. We all know we get dirty, and we're going to have to keep our heart because that's where the issues of life are. Is that not what the Scripture said? Maintain our heart. Keep it clean. Are we okay? Everybody follow me. So how do I have my heart cleaned? How do I have my heart cleaned? Now here's where we're going to get so simple. All right, you ready? You probably ain't never heard this 1,000 times in a month. Huh? In the 21 years of being here, probably ain't heard this 10 million times. You hear it on Sunday morning, Brother Rick. Hear it through me, hear it on every year, Bible Readers Banquet, Brother Dennis. Hear it on Wednesday night Bible study. The kids, all you young people, you hear this downstairs? Huh? We hear it. And what don't we do, Dave?
Listen.
We don't listen. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. We can only get clean and stay clean by the Word of God. They no other way. We cannot get clean and stay clean without the Word of God. When we tell you and ask you, are you reading your Bible? It's not just to go to the dinner Friday. It's because you need to get clean and stay clean. When we encourage you to read your Bible, it's to get clean and stay clean. When we preach about the Word of God, it's to get clean and stay clean. Because there's no other way to get clean and stay clean other than by the Word of God.
That's true.
Or does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
The Word, why? Because the Word exposes the dirt.
Yes.
And it shows me where I went wrong.
Yes.
And then the Word shows me where to go right.
Yes.
And then the Word speaks to my heart and directs my path. And we need to obey the Word. We don't just read the Word. It ain't just reading the Word, but it's getting in the Word. This is what we're supposed to. That's why Jesus said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's why it's in there in the Old Testament. That's why it's in the New Testament. That's why Paul said to study, to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why he said to give attendance to reading. That's why he said all these things. Why? Because that's how we get clean and stay clean.
Right.
And you say, well, I do read my Bible. Well, we're going to get to that, how you read your Bible, here in a minute. We still okay? See, it ain't just reading. We need to obey the Word of God. We read it, but if we're not doing what it's telling us, if it shows me the dirt and I'm not doing what it says to wipe the dirt off, then it's not done me no good. Are we okay with that? Look here at 1 Peter chapter 2. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Can I get amen there? But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. We're still speaking of Christ there. Who is the living Word. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Now look at this. Even to them which stumble at the Word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. Can I tell you that if you read the Word and don't obey the Word, then you trip over it. And you get dirtier. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Because then the Word is supposed to be clean, it becomes a stumbling block.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it ain't just reading it. It ain't just speed reading it.
No. Come on.
Now, I'm not being critical of you young people, but I'm going to try to help you. All right, we do our Bible drills and we do our Bible memorization at youth camp. All right, if I have you stand up, can you give me the same scriptures that you had them write down in your book? Can you give me the same scriptures tonight that they wrote down in your book for youth camp? Can you? How many can do it? Then you don't know it. You don't know the scripture. You knew it fast enough to get a point for it. Now, I'm not being critical because I'd rather get in you a little bit as none at all. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just showing you a difference. We can speed read things and say, well, I read it. But let me ask you, have you ever read the Bible and not done nothing out of it? It ain't because the Bible changed, it's how you read it. It actually is how your heart was when you read it. We okay? Are we okay? Listen to me now. I'm trying to help us. John 15:3. Now ye are clean, what? Which I have spoken unto you. Is that what it says? So how are you going to get clean? It's going to have to be through the Word of God, is it not? See, that's why there's so much emphasis put on it. I can't put enough emphasis on the Word of God.
Amen.
That's why we got. That's why we put the emphasis on the right Bible,
yep.
Which ain't but one. That's why we put the emphasis on that. That's why we put it on you reading it, to study it, to get it. That's why. Why? Because that's what gets you clean and keeps you clean. Okay? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart. That setting apart is for the good, for the purpose of God. How? Thy word is truth. That's how. It's the word that makes the difference. It's the word of God that makes the difference tonight. Are we okay? Psalm 51:2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. How can I pray that and not use the word of God? He's not going to wash me. Huh? That book washes me. Huh? We still okay? But it's more than just reading it. See, it's not going through a car wash. It ain't getting in the car and just driving through and letting the water run off us. That ain't it. Huh? How many times you go through a car wash and when you get out, you look and see how clean you got? It's rare. It's rare that I don't get out and see where all it was missed. Can I tell you, you read your Bible, it ain't going to miss nothing. It ain't going to miss a spot. You're not going to get in there to get clean and say, oh, he missed. No, he didn't miss nothing. No, he don't miss nothing. We still okay? Now, hold your Bible up. Hold your Bible up high. God, if you got your Bible with you, hold your Bible up high. Huh? That's not just an instruction book. What you're holding up in the air tonight is the living Word of God. It's the living, hold it up. It's the living Word of God you got holding up in your hand tonight. Think about that. It's not just an instruction book. It's not just a book that shows you your mistakes. It's the living Word of God.
Yes.
Think about that. Huh? And that's what will keep you clean. You put them down if you want to. We okay?
Yeah.
Psalms 119:10-11. Now, it's more than just reading. Let's see why it's more than just reading. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against God. See, it's more than just reading it. It's doing something when we read it. It's putting it in their inner heart. Does that make sense to you tonight? It ain't just reading through it. There's more to it than that. It's I hide it in my heart that I won't sin. It cleanses me and keeps me from getting dirty.
Right.
All right? Are we okay?
Yeah.
It'll keep me clean. Are we still okay? Does everybody understand what I just said?
Yeah.
Now, we are only keeping clean, listen to me, when we're making godly decisions. You're only keeping yourself clean when you make godly decisions. How are you going to make godly decisions without the Word of God? You can't. I can't. We've got to have the Word of God to make godly decisions. Does everybody understand that? It's by the Word of God. It's what cleanses me and what keeps me clean. Huh? Are we still okay? I mean, it's so foundational. Huh? Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, we all know that verse. That's one verse we have, most everybody can quote. Right? What's it mean? What's it mean? Let's see what it means. It's the light for my feet where I stand. Right? It's the light for my path where I'm going. It shows me how I am now, and it shows me the direction I'm supposed to go. I can't make a godly decision without the Word of God, because the Word of God is a light for my path. It's a lamp to my feet where I'm at right here, and it's a light in the decisions I make tomorrow, in the decision I make tonight, in the decision I'll make in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
It shows me the way.
Yeah.
All right? The Word is more important than we think. It keeps us clean. It exposes my wrongdoing, my wrong thinking. And because of the Word of God, and I see that, and it shows me where I'm wrong when I read it, and it shows me where I err in my heart, then it causes me, it convicts me, the Holy Spirit speaks to me through His Word, and then I confess my sin, repent, confess my sin, and I'm clean.
Yeah.
And I'm staying clean.
Right.
But it's by the Word of God.
Right.
And it's the one thing that everybody, we may read through it, but we don't hide it.
Right.
We don't let it illuminate our path, not even where we're at. Huh? Are we still okay?
Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:16 says, why is it so? But look what the Bible does. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable.
Yeah.
So to start with, your Bible is profitable to you.
Yeah.
It'll help you. It's profitable. Young people, your Bible is profitable.
Yeah.
All right?
Oh, yeah.
It's profitable. There's nothing else that I find in the Word of God that says it's profitable. Body exercise profits little. That's the closest thing. And it may give you a little bit, but it ain't giving you much. But the Scripture is profitable. And it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. See, what the Word of God is going to do, it's going to show me where I'm at. It's going to show me what I am. It's going to show me where I need to go. It's going to cleanse me. It's going to keep me clean. Are we okay? Now, we need to ask God to show us so we can bring Him glory. Show me how to bring You glory. Show me in my life, where am I going to find that at? It's going to be the Word of God. I'm not going to be able to glorify the Lord if I'm not clean. That's the first thing I'm going to have to make sure I do, is be clean before I ever can bring Him glory. Or is everybody okay with that? Is that simple? Huh? Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my what? Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we read our Bibles, we ought to start maybe with that verse, them two verses right there. When I read, Lord, search me and try my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me, and He'll show us. Well, I believe James says something about the Word being a mirror. You know, we behold our face in the glass in the mirror. You know, we do these things. I heard... Brother Earl preach at camp meeting, whether camp meeting or maybe been at Elmira, I don't remember where it was now. He just preached on the Word of God being a mirror, and that was his whole message, on the Word of God being a mirror, and just wore us all out to us. I remember Brother Earl preaching that, about the Word of God being a mirror, a looking glass, showing myself. We got mirrors, you know, at the sink. And then Cheryl wanted one of them makeup mirrors. Y'all ladies know what I'm talking about. And it's a good little thing. It ain't very big. And it sits on one of them hand cranks. You can put it wherever you want to put it, you know. And one side of it, just normal. I don't mind looking at it. But you flip it, and it's that up close. I don't like that. Man, and fellas, don't y'all laugh. I don't look no different. Y'all look. But it's what I see. I see the imperfection. I see the scars. See, the scars are sitting in there. Yeah, I do. He don't, but I do. But then when I get to looking, I see worry lines. Why is that there? Huh? I see the restless lines. Why is that there? Huh? And sometimes I look in my eyes and I see dark things. See, that mirror exposes everything about me. And that word will expose everything. And see, that's probably why we don't get it in us. It ain't because we don't have time. It's because of what it shows us. It ain't because there's good spots in there that only blesses us. Can I tell you? But sometimes the Word of God don't bless me. It reproves me. Then it blesses me after I confess and repent, and then He forgives me, and our fellowship is reinstated, and there's joy unspeakable and full of glory because I've took a bath and I'm clean. I've come in before tired, filthy, and sit down in a recliner. And Cheryl has said this countless times, honey, go take a bath, you'll feel better. Go take a shower, you'll feel better. And I said, I don't want to. I don't even feel like doing it. She said, go take a shower, you'll feel so much better. And I'll get up and groan and go, and sure enough, sometimes I sit in this life and I'm dirty and I stink and I'm tired. And the Holy Spirit says, won't you take a bath? I said, I don't want to take a bath. I don't want to get up. He said, I don't want you to get up. I want you to get down. You get down, let's take a bath. And then, man, I feel so much better. The purpose of God is for us tonight to glorify the Lord. And we're going to have to start with a clean heart. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Let's go home.